In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You know, I think that we look at ourselves through our own eyes. And when we see what we see through our own eyes, we kind of turn away from the Lord. You see, what God sees, if you've asked forgiveness, is that Jesus' blood has covered you, and not only covered you, but anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. You know, the devil keeps us down. He doesn't want us to know who we are in Jesus Christ. So no matter what you've done or how many times you've done it, if you've repented of your sin, you've gone to confession, the Lord has washed you clean with his precious blood. And you know, I understand how he is accusing people, because that's who he is. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he says, you're not worthy. I'm telling you, there's only one that's worthy. His name is Jesus. And he makes us worthy by pouring his blood over us in forgiveness. Forgiveness is very important. Forgiveness is very important. I want to tell you, we forgive with our will the people who have hurt us. If we are holding grudges against people, the only one that's going to be hurt is the one that's holding a grudge. Maybe someone abused you sexually. That's a rotten, miserable thing that they did to you. But you know what? If you don't forgive them, you will carry them to the grave. They will always be on your neck. How do I forgive? I go to the cross and I tell Jesus, I want to borrow your forgiveness because I have no forgiveness of my own. I want to borrow your forgiveness, and I forgive them because you love me. I don't want them around my neck any longer. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. You see, this forgiveness thing is really something important. And, you know, we've all been mistreated. We've all had times when we could have been shining like stars and someone put a basket over our light. We've got to forgive people. Forgive our mothers, forgive our fathers, forgive our brothers, forgive our sisters, forgive our teachers. And forgive those who have hurt us, especially who have abused us. Maybe you've been abused not by sex, but maybe verbal abuse. I tell you, this is so important, so important. If not, we become what we hate. We become what we hate. That's the scripture from Jeremiah 2:2. Let's see if I can find it. That we become the very thing that we hate. And that's not what we want to be. We don't want to be that thing that we hate. Here it goes. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend evil, shall come upon them, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain?" Okay, there it is. What we walk after, we become. They walked after vanity and became vain. We walk after unforgiveness and we become unforgiveness. We become the very thing that we hate. And you know, it is time for us to say no more. It's over. No more. I'm not going to carry this person or these people to the grave. I'm going to forgive them by borrowing the forgiveness from Jesus Christ on the cross. Whatever you walk in, you become. You know, that's why people who are in the Word of God, they become a Word of God. That people that are looking at Jesus all the time, they take on the form of an aspect of Jesus. An aspect of Jesus, because Jesus has many aspects. We do not want to become what we hate. We do not want to keep on thinking about that stuff. We want to move on. And you know, it should have taken the Israelites 9 months to go through the desert, but it took them 40 years because of their rebellion, because of their hard-heartedness. And you know, it's the same way with us. We are no further ahead than when we were in school because we've not forgiven that person. So right now, we're going to forgive that person or those people. And we're going to do it in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're going to do it with faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I forgive. I forgive. Name the people. I forgive them for what they did to me. I borrow the forgiveness from the cross. I borrow the forgiveness from the cross. Cover me with the blood of Jesus, that I know that I'm a new creation. I don't want to bring these people to the grave with me. I want to be set free from these people. I just ask you, Lord, I forgive them, and I let them stay in your hands. I pray that you would bless them even, to bless them, Lord, because you are always the one who blesses. They were anything but a blessing to me. But you know what, Lord? Now I let them go. Now I let them go. I let them go. In Jesus' name. Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? You, you alone. Sing it with me. Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? You, you alone. If I go to the highest heavens, you are there. If I go to the lowest valleys, you are there. If I hide myself in darkness, you are there. You, you alone. Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? You, you alone. Yes. Whom else in heaven do we have but Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Whom else do we have but the Father and the Holy Spirit? Yes, and the great saints and angels. But, you know, Jesus Christ is the one that we have. Oh, yes, he is the one that we have, and he is in heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father, he is there making intercession for us today, making intercession for you today, making intercession for me today. And I say amen to what you're praying today for me, Jesus. Amen to what you're praying for me. He's the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. His blood covers our sins. Hallelujah. We do not have to live in the land of guilt. We do not have to live in the land of fear. We do not have to live in the land of anxiety. Why? Because we are loved by God, and that Jesus gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. This is reality. This is the reality. The reality of God, that Jesus gave his life for us while we were far from the Lord. And he has made us into his adopted children of the Father in, through, and with Christ. So please today, just keep on knowing who you are, that you are a son of God, and that you are a forgiver, just like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave all of those people who crucified him, and he forgave me because I put him on the cross by my sins. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you that you have forgiven me. I thank you that you have forgiven these people. That's why the sacrament of confession is so important, that people go and confess their sins to the Lord and to the priest, because it's good just to be able to say them and to get rid of them once and for all. Once and for all. Jesus said, whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Jesus said that, and what he said, he meant. And he said that to the apostles, and now he says that to the priests of the church. Whom sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. We're looking at the sixth chapter of 2 Kings. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with you is too strait for us. The eighth verse. When the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. So the king of Syria was warring against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, he's going to pitch his camp in such a place. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware thou pass not such a place, for in that place the Syrians have made their tents. So I tell you, the man of God hears in his bedroom what the enemies are doing. You know, God has given us that ability to hear how our enemies try to destroy us. And there's two ways, at least one way I'm going to tell you, to defeat the enemy, and that's by praise. Yes, he can lay all the booby traps for us, but if we continue to praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, you are the Lord, you are the Lord, I praise you, I bless you, I worship you, that we defeat the enemy by the blood of Jesus and by our testimony and by our praise. So Elisha knew where the Syrians were to camp. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, but twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was really troubled for this king, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he thinks that someone in his camp has told the king of Israel where the Syrians have camped. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. You know, none of us have betrayed you, king. This is Elisha the prophet. He hears what you say in your bedroom. He hears what you say. And so he warns the soldiers of Israel not to go to such and such a place because that's where the Syrians are. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So Elisha is in Dothan. Therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and behold, gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto the man of God, alas, my master, how shall we fare? How shall we do? And he answered, Elisha answered, don't be afraid, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. My Lord, you got two, and so who else is with us? Whoever else is with us aren't many, but they that are with us are far more than they that are with them. And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So I tell you, Elisha has all these angels that have surrounded him and his friend. I tell you that God sends his angels to help us, for us that are on the road to salvation. Hebrews 1, the last verse, are not these ministering spirits, the angels, sent to help us who are on the road to salvation? My Lord, the servant of Elisha saw only with his physical eyes. We believe in the visible and the invisible. The invisible angels that are around the throne of God. The invisible angels that do God's bidding. The invisible angels that are our friends. Yes, we have also an angel that the Lord has given each person. A guardian angel. A guardian angel. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, and they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Shall I kill them? And he answered, you shall not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So we see God knew how to destroy these Syrians. And it was through the angelic powers. And you know, they don't destroy the Syrians. They give them something to eat. And they go back and they don't attack Israel's camp anymore. Let me just tell you, you have angels all around you. They are real. These angels are angels of light. They are real. God has given them to you, God has given them to me, and they minister to us. Lord, open our eyes that we would see these beautiful angels, these angels that constantly are watching over us, leading us to Jesus. Oh, you see, the angels must lead us to Jesus. I do not want any kind of spirit guide. I want the angels that are in friendship with Jesus, the ones around the throne of God, the ones that are constantly praising God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." I want the angels to minister to me that are praising God morning, noon, and night. Those are the only angels I want. I do not want any other angels. I don't want any spirit guide. I want the angels that love Jesus. I want the angels that have constantly are in the presence of God, praising God. You see, Elisha knew where the Syrians were, and he warned the king not to go there. Elisha heard while the king was in his bedchamber, because he is the man of God. And Elisha blinds the eyes of all the Syrians and leads them to Samaria. But they are not going to be hurt in Samaria. They are prisoners. They are to eat and go home. I tell you, we need angels. We need the angels of God. I need the angels of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, send us holy angels. Send us angels that are before your throne. Send us angels that ever do your bidding. Send us angels that love Jesus. Oh, Father, let us see the angels. Let us see the angels like Elisha's servant. Help us to see the angel that guards us, that guides us, that is our friend because he's a friend of Jesus. Father, we know angels have no bodies, but they can take on bodies according to your will. I remember Don Bosco. When Don Bosco would go in the night, you know, where all these mean people were and people that hated him, God would send an angel to him. And the angel was in the form of a dog. And anyone that came near to Don Bosco, the angel would show his teeth in the form of a dog. And when he got back to his home, the angel disappeared. The dog disappeared. But whenever he needed that dog to help him, that dog came. That dog came. And he knew it was an angel in the form of a dog. That God used his angels to keep the man of God, Don Bosco, safe. I tell you, things have not changed during these days. We do need men of God. We do need women of God. We remember what Pope Francis said. Pope Francis told us to love God, to love Jesus. They were hollering outside his place. He's not in the papal apartment, you know. He's living in a hotel, which is for the pilgrims. He said that he did not want to be alone, and so he's living in a hotel. But when he went back to the papal apartments to pray the Angelus, he was there just for a while. All the people were yelling, "Francisco, Francisco, 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 Francisco." And he came out and said, "Don't holler, Francisco. Holler Jesus, 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 Jesus." And they all started, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, we thank you for the Pope. We thank you that you have given him to us. Keep him safe. Keep him in your perfect will. Keep him holy. Keep him, keep him, keep him." I thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. And I do need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. Summer is very difficult. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you're interested in going to the Holy Land, I have a friend that's running a trip, and you can just write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You give me your name and telephone number, and she will call you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. and Jimmy the roofer is looking for roofs. It's been raining lately. We've been seeing lots of rainbows. And if your house is leaking, 617-846-0076. 617-846-0076. That's Jimmy the roofer. He just did something for one of our parishioners, and he said, the woman said, he's just a wonderful, wonderful worker. That's what she said, and I'm just telling you what she said. So, Father, we thank you for today. For the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Oh yes, tell the Lord, I am your servant. Let it be done unto me according to your word. I am your servant. Let it be done unto me according to your word. I am your servant, Lord, and I forgive everyone who's hurt me. I forgive them with the forgiveness of Jesus, which I borrow from the cross. I forgive them, and I say, Lord, bless them. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.